JC Corcoran Podcast.
I really believe, by the way, that I have distilled the worst problem with men and the worst problem with women, and I think this is a good place to start. The problem with men don't hear a word women say. The problem with women hear every word men say. And by the way, we want you to cut it out. We can't do it. First of all, obviously we're different, men and women. We have very different memories. We're very selective on the things we forget. We all know that the same guy who has no trouble memorizing every batting average since 1931 somehow can never remember his girlfriend's birthday. And the same woman who can tell you which scarf she wore on your fifth date somehow can't recall how long the oil light's been flashing on the dashboard. Neither can I, by the way, but never mind that now. We look at the world differently. Men love to wrap their egos in huge issues. Men love to think they're in charge of all sorts of things. Oh, boy, you know. My mother has said this for years about my father. My mother has always said, oh, your father takes care of the big things in life, like, are the planets still circling the sun? I take care of the little things like, Milt, I think you just hit an antelope. Oh, and by the way, the oil light's flashing. Women do hear every word men say. I hope if there's a guy here who doesn't believe that, you really should. Women hear every word. Worst for men, by the way. Worse even. Women remember every word men say. No, they're amazing at that. I'm telling you, the CIA could save a lot of money on all that wiretapping equipment if they just hired more women. I'm telling you, the next time one of these government guys got on the witness stand and said, gee, you know what happened so long ago, I can't remember what I said. And then the woman could go, I do. You do? Oh, yes. He said it's illegal to sell guns, and he said we have to support the rebels. Then he said, did you get all the money in advance? And then he said, yes, I have it all right here. Oh, and then they watched porno movies. I think it was Long Dong Silver. Your Honor! She couldn't possibly remember all that. Of course she can, you idiot. She's a woman. Oh, that's right. And men don't hear a word. Men do not hear a word. It's literally, the words don't go in the ear. There's an enzyme missing, and the words just keep... Right on. If you could just hear the way we hear... Our ears are different. Our ears are like shortwave radios that never quite come in. Our ears are just always a thing. We catch a phrase every so often. Like, cars in the shop. New curtains. Everything to us sounds like a train going by. Just don't forget dinner Saturday night. See, that's actually the way we hear. Hey, maybe that helps knowing that, huh? Men don't hear a word women say. And if the TV is on, good luck now. I mean, you might as well be talking to someone on life support. You know. And if it's a ball game.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, January 12, 2022. Exactly 300 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You are at jconline.com, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Hi there. Anybody who was home yesterday and watching Dr. Fauci testify in front of Congress, or if you saw it, you know, the highlight, C-SPAN was running it last night, and obviously all the 24-hour news channels. I guess I now understand a lot better why Rand Paul's next-door neighbor beat the shit out of him last year. All right? In the words of Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you dick! I'll tell you one thing. I hope that when I'm 81 years old, I got that sort of spunk. I got that sort of fight left in me. I suspect I will, by the way. But watching Fauci just yesterday go, how old is Rand Paul?
59 years old.
There you go. I was close. So Fauci, who's 81, just basically says, come on, motherfucker, you want some of this? Come on. It's like comedian Jeff Altman. Jeff Altman used to talk about his dad. He said his pants were pulled up so high that in the last few years of his father's life, it was just a head and a belt. I'll roll you out like carpeting. I'll flip you like a cheese omelet. By the way, I got to talk about this one. There's a woman in Australia, and she went viral this week after a video showed her actively trying to get Omicron from people. She's getting married in 6 weeks and doesn't want to get it right before her wedding. But experts advise against this. Here's a few reasons why. Because there are people who say, well, I'll just get it and then get it over with and then I'll have natural immunity and I go on with my life. It's still COVID, not just a bad cold. Even though a lot of people with mild cases end up with a high fever, body ache, swollen lymph nodes, a bad sore throat, that even includes people who are vaccinated and boosted. So it's not the time to be getting cocky. You could end up with long COVID. Symptoms include shortness of breath, fatigue, severe fatigue, fevers, dizziness, brain fog, stomach pain, and trouble sleeping. And that's if it's not a severe case. And you'll probably spread it to somebody else. Hospitals are filling up again and stressing out the whole system. Over the weekend, almost a quarter of hospitals in the United States reported critical staff shortages because so many doctors and nurses have COVID right now, too. And we still don't know how long immunity lasts. It might only be a couple of months, and then you can get it again. So you might let yourself get sick for no good reason. That's why experts say being vaccinated and boosted is a better option. Rand Paul attacking Fauci yesterday. Fauci's like, what I've done for the last 2 years is just repeat over and over what the CDC says. And that is to wear a mask, wash your hands, try to practice social distancing when you can, get the shots, get boosted, and shut the fuck up. Sit down. But we love your curls. Rand, we love them. I got to read this to you. I won't say her name. This is a very nice gal who listens to the show every day. She said, fully vaccinated and boosted, and right now I'm as sick as I've ever been. I wear a mask everywhere I go, and I ordered most things online, and if I went to a store, I went at 6 o'clock in the morning when there was nobody else there. I broke my cardinal rule on Christmas Day at my sister's home. My niece and nephew were there, both highly educated and wonderful people, but anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers. I don't regret getting the vaccine or the boost, but I can honestly say it's the people out there who refuse that are making the rest of us so sick. I'm 59, maybe a little bit over, but I can't believe how sick I am, even though I think I have turned the corner. Trying not to hate the anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers, even when they are two people that I love so dearly, and I was never in a gathering of over 6 or 7 people. I just wanted to share. And then after I responded, what do you say? I'm really sorry you're having to endure this. And then she sent back and she was, I was unable to get a test. She went to 5 different places. My doctor saw me last Monday, contacted 2 labs he works with, same thing, booked up 4 days out. He put me on antibiotics for my sore throat and swollen lymph nodes in my neck. Then the cough came. I get boosted, and I believe it's the only way we can beat this. I kind of hate people. Well, mouth-breathing Hoosiers. That pretty much nails it. And while sensible people are just trying to follow all this and trying not to get sick, you have these two female roommates in their 20s charged with felonies after they stormed into a man's house early Monday morning and threw a bunch of glitter at him. It's unclear how they knew the guy or if they even knew him and why they did it in the first place. But again, you know, those are felonies. There's no accounting for people and what they are thinking. Sometimes you ever find yourself in a public situation just looking, going, or maybe watching these Karen videos. I just posted another one the other day. Open the gate! I'm on the list! Thank you, Karen. TSA just released their annual list of the top 10 catches from last year. And while there's the usual assortment of guns and other weapons, there's one that sort of sticks out. Somebody tried to fly out of Hobby International Airport in Houston with what they are calling a meth burrito. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Crystal meth inside a breakfast burrito. Some of the other strange things the TSA found last year: bullets inside deodorant, a meat cleaver, a chainsaw, a firearm belt buckle, and a wine holder shaped like a gun. Of course, these are just the strangest illegal things they confiscated. They surely found some even weirder stuff while digging through people's bags. By the way, TSA also confiscated nearly 5,700 firearms at checkpoints in 2021, highest number ever recorded in a single year since the agency's inception. Do people who are flying with guns think they're going to get away with it? Do they forget that the gun is in the suitcase or the carry-on? Are they trying to prove some sort of point? I don't understand this. It's like I said, I think I talked about this last week. I used to think I understood things. It's very clear. I don't understand shit right now. And it turns out there's all sorts of things going on between men and women that I'm unaware of. You know, the condom sales have fallen 40% in the last 2 years. 40%. Well, yeah, because people aren't able to date. Well, I mean, you can date, you just can't have sex, depending on how well you know the person and how seriously you are taking the pandemic, I guess. But when they do get down to doing the horizontal bop, the adult toy company Adam and Eve just polled over 1,000 adults and asked which day of the week is the best day to get it on, and Wednesday tied for last, even though it's hump day. That would be irony. Just over half of people said they don't have a preference, but for people who do, Wednesday and Thursday are last with just 6% of the vote each. The most popular day of the week to get some action is Saturday. That's 35%. Friday is next, 23%. And then there's a pretty steep drop-off. Sunday is third with 12%. Then Monday and Tuesday with 9% each, and Wednesday and Thursday each get 6%. That's it. They did the same poll 10 years ago, and things have changed a little bit. Friday and Saturday got a bigger share of the vote this time, but Sunday is less popular than it used to be. Wednesday and Thursday also dropped in popularity. So we have all these football games starting on Saturday. You had games on Saturday, games on Sunday, and then one game on Monday. Gave you the entire list yesterday. We'll do it again tomorrow and again on Friday. But I'm going to see if they've updated this forecast for Cincinnati. We've got Vegas at Cincinnati Saturday afternoon at 3:30. And look at this. They've moved the snow back now to Sunday. So it'll just be cold in Cincinnati. But some of those other games could be played in some really nasty weather this weekend. We'll hold on. We'll see what happens as we see things develop. And that includes the St. Louis area. It could be looking at anywhere from 1 to 4 inches of snow. This appears to be the first actual real snowfall of the year. We've had little dribs and drabs and stuff like that, but this time it looks like something is going to finally hit us. And depending on where you are, and this is way too early to tell. I mean, this is still only Wednesday. We're talking about whatever's going to happen here is going to be Friday night late, probably into the day on Saturday. But it looks like somebody in the Midwest, somebody in the general area of St. Louis is going to get, I won't say clobbered, because you might only end up with 1 inch, but you could end up with 4, and 3 or 4 inches in St. Louis, even on the weekend, will shut the place down. It's that first one. So on Friday morning, we could be opening the Schnucks Panic Aisle. Let's see. Oh, and by the way, whatever does fall in terms of snow is going to stay around, because we're looking at real winter weather type temperatures all next week, barely even, most days, not even breaking the freezing mark. So whatever does fall is going to be around for a while. Major League Baseball owners and the Players Association allegedly going to meet tomorrow. Spring training starts on February 15th, so that's just about a month and a couple of days ahead of us here. If you ask me, I say there will be a very brief spring training, maybe even a late start to the season. I don't know. We're going to have to start pushing and shoving here pretty soon. But that's true of most negotiations. I mean, I can even tell you that about my own situation. You know, it would be one of those deals where nothing would happen, nothing would happen, nothing would happen. You're like, okay, well, we're getting down to the final day here. The contract is going to run out. You've got the doors locked, you know, because they would lock me out of the station then until we were playing nice. We're like, why don't you guys play nice? And then, like, on the final day, the lawyers would all be up until midnight trying to pound the thing out, and then they would get it all worked out, and I'd have a new contract. So it even, you know, comes down to my level. But as I pointed out yesterday, the American sports fan is not going to tolerate another work stoppage with regard to Major League Baseball. They're just not going to do it. Speaking of bad weather, it was on this date in 2011 that we did our big tornado relief show down at O'Leary's on Lindbergh. That was the tornado that hit on New Year's Eve. I remember because Trish and I were on the air and we were watching this thing come right up 44. And we're watching the Weather Channel on the monitor, you know, in the middle of doing a show. And we're watching this thing and it's coming right up 44. And all of the reports, you know, we're getting news reports from all over the state. And they're like, it's coming right up 44. Like, we know. We're watching it. And sure enough, it hit Sunset Hills. And I still remember that it being New Year's Eve, John Goodman was in town, and apparently he had just landed, got in a car, and headed straight for O'Leary's, as was often the case with John back in those days. And he pulled up. He's like, what happened? And he's like, we just had a tornado, like 2 minutes ago. John just missed it. So, like I said, it was a couple of weeks later, and we did a big tornado relief show over at O'Leary's that was on this date in 2011. 1985, Westport Playhouse is where I was emceeing for Stephen Wright. And if you're asking, what's that guy like when he's not on stage? Exactly like he is when he's on stage. There's no difference whatsoever. The term odd duck comes to mind. Very nice guy. He just didn't talk. He walked very slowly. All of his mannerisms were sort of in slow motion. It's just the way he is. Awfully funny. I bought some instant water, but I don't know what to add. Come on, come on. I've told this story a million times, but back in the 80s, I had a house in Baldwin, and I lived right around the corner from Doug Wickenizer and a couple of other of the St. Louis Blues. And Doug and I sort of hit it off. He would come over, we would rent the fights. Like, it was a Tyson fight, and it would cost, like, you know, $40 or something like that. It's like, okay, I'll buy the fight. You bring the beer. He'd show up with a case of beer. I would invite somebody else, like my attorney, Jeff Gershman, his great friend. So we're going to have the fight. And he would bring a deli tray. So now we got the beer, we got the deli tray, and of course you got the fight. And then we would sit there and watch it. And Wick was a great guy. He was a real practical joker, by the way, in addition to being a great player for the St. Louis Blues. But, you know, he would do things like one night his girlfriend stole a bunch of the garden gnomes from the front lawns of people in our subdivision and put them all in front of my front door so that when I came out to get the paper in the morning, I couldn't get the door open. So I'm like, what the hell? I come out the garage and here's a bunch of these garden gnomes. He came back and redistributed all of them. One night, oh geez, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. And out there in Baldwin, this was before it was very heavily populated like it is now. And I'm coming down 141 and then I don't even remember the name of the road, but it led into the Westbrook subdivision there. Right at Big Bend, Hannah Road. That's right, Big Bend and Hannah Road. It's all coming back to me now. But it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving back from something. I don't know what. And there's two headlights right on my bumper for about the last mile of the trip. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning. People used to do some weird stuff back then. A lot of them, by the way, were fans of the show, and they just thought that this would be a fun thing to do, to terrorize me. But, you know, but this, whoever this car was right on my bumper, and I speed up, they speed up. I slow down, they slow down. I turn into my subdivision, they turn into my subdivision. Now, what I learned later is to not lead people into the area or the neighborhood or the subdivision where I live, because then they know where you are. They know where you live. So sometimes I would drive, if something like that was happening, I would drive right to a police station, and then they would flake off and go away. But in this case, this guy followed me right in the subdivision. Now I turn down my street. He turns down my street. I got the garage door already open. I come pulling into the garage. I close the door behind me. I'm scared shitless, come out of the house, the car is still there, I'm getting ready to call the cops, come out there. Wick gets out of the car, Doug Wickenizer and his girlfriend. This was the kind of guy he was. He was just a real practical joker. Scored one of the most famous goals in the history of the St. Louis Blues franchise, and on one of the saddest days of my life, this day in the year 2000, Doug Wickenizer passed away, and just recently, within the last year, I guess, talked to his widow, Diane. You know, the girls are growing up now. A lot of them are playing hockey, by the way. He had three daughters, including a set of twins. They've all grown up to be healthy, strong, athletic women. Diane seems to be doing, you know, as well as can be under the circumstances. It's just a wonderful family. And though the St. Louis Blues lost one of their great players and I lost a friend, I will tell you this. Everybody in their lives should be as fortunate as Doug Wickenizer and his family were, that the safety net known as the St. Louis Blues organization was there to help them. What I saw, people like Bernie Federko and his lovely bride and the whole Blues organization, the way they rallied behind Doug Wickenizer when he got very, very ill for a very, very long time and then eventually passed away. The way those people in the Blues organization took care of Wick in his final days and of that family, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Goosebumps just thinking about it. Anybody says anything bad about Bernie Federko, and it's very rare that anybody would, but if they would, they'd have to go through me, because what I saw him and his wife and that all the people in the Blues organization, the way they stepped it up, man, it was pretty incredible. And back on this date in 2007, I was working for Channel 2. I was doing these essays that they would run on the 5 and the 9 o'clock show. And so I'd always be hanging around the newsroom. I'd go in a couple of times a week. And, you know, my segments would air. You know, we'd record them. I'd write them. We'd do all this sort of stuff. Television newsrooms are interesting places, particularly on a day-to-day basis. But then when something big happens, if you happen to be in the newsroom while it's going on, like I was watching broadcast news last night with Holly Hunter and William Hurt and all those other great people who were in the movie, and I hadn't seen broadcast news in quite a while, and I was watching going, you know, it's really close. It really is close to the way life in a newsroom is like. And on this particular day, I'm sitting in the news director's office. He's looking at my script. You know, they want to make sure I didn't say anything stupid. So I was going to write the whole thing. I'd take it into him. He would sit there. He'd read it. Sometimes he'd suggest some changes. We'd chit-chat a little bit, whatever the case may be. And right in the middle of all of this, word comes down that Sean Hornbeck had been found and had been found alive. This is the kid, you'll recall, who had been kidnapped. He was missing for years. People just assumed, you know, that that was it and he was never going to be found. And not only is he found, he's found alive and in reasonably good health, you know, obviously under the circumstances, reasonably good health. And watching all of the real journalists in the Fox 2 newsroom, because, you know, I'm just a clown ass in there trying to make people laugh and maybe bring up a good point once in a while in these essays that I was doing. But all the really, really seriously trained, serious journalists in the Fox 2 newsroom, I saw a couple of them with tears in their eyes. Because, well, for obvious reasons, because, you know, people can be seasoned and in a lot of cases hardened journalists because they've seen everything. You got to go look at dead bodies. You know, people say, well, the news is always bad. Well, that's not necessarily true, but you have to see some tough things. And some of these people have been in the newsroom for a very, very long time. They'd seen it all, but they never saw anything like this. And it brought them to tears. And there was this sense of shock and disbelief. Like, people like, are you sure? Are you positive? This, yes, yes. And I think everybody in that newsroom, including the sports and the weather guys, we're all in the general newsroom trying to find out what the hell happened. What do we know? And where is this story going to go next? People just couldn't believe it. That was on this date in 2007, a day I will never, ever forget. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Authorities believe Bob Saget died of a heart attack or a stroke. Not going to be an official diagnosis until toxicology tests come back in 10 to 12 weeks. Steve Harvey said he had to stop doing stand-up comedy because cancel culture would ruin his television career. Here's the quote. Political correctness has killed comedy. Every joke you tell now, it hurts somebody's feelings. End quote. This is one of the strangest quotes I've seen in a while. Jeremy Renner, one of our great actors working these days, has taught girls how to put tampons in and even learned Lamaze from his mom to help with the birth of his sister. Again, the quote, I'm a badass dude because I was raised by some badass women. End quote. Perhaps a little more badass than we needed to know. Ben Affleck says he's done at least 5 movies that were bigger flops than Geely. I like that. That's funny. This year's Oscars are going to have a host for the first time since 2018. It hasn't been announced who it's going to be, but the ceremony is happening March 27th on ABC. Tom Holland recently expressed his interest in hosting in a recent interview, so maybe he's the guy that gets the job. Dexter, New Blood, Showtime's biggest series ever. Across its 10-week run, the show averaged about 8 million viewers. Stevie Nicks will become the first female to headline the Bonnaroo Festival this June. A woman claims she returned a bag to Nelly containing $300,000 and he only gave her a $100 reward. But Nelly says none of this ever happened. As he does every year, Pee Wee Herman commemorated the anniversary of the death of Large Marge yesterday. Olivia Munn posted a picture of John Mulaney holding their baby. That is one hell of a rebound, by the way, for both of them. You know, because Olivia Munn was boinking Aaron Rodgers, and then they broke up. John Mulaney was married, ended up in rehab, and somehow they both bounced out of their situations, got together, had an immediate child, and now supposedly things going okay. How about this one? Martha Stewart ran into Pete Davidson at a restaurant. Kim Kardashian wasn't there, but Kim and Pete were spotted at a California outlet mall on Monday. Meanwhile, and here it comes, Kanye West and his new girlfriend, Julia Fox, went out to dinner that night with Antonio Brown, the guy who took off his football jersey in Tampa 2 weeks ago and did jumping jacks in the end zone while the game was still going on. So now you've got Kanye and Julia and Antonio Brown. What could possibly go wrong there? Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Sarah Silverman and Louis Black. David Spade pops up with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Keanu Reeves and Isla Fisher. We'll be on with Seth Meyers. When Seahawks backup quarterback Geno Smith was arrested for DUI on Monday, he suggested that the arresting officer had a small penis. They treat you really well at the station when you do something like that, by the way. Zach Galifianakis and Elizabeth Banks are going to star in something called The Beanie Bubble, a movie about people collecting Beanie Babies back in the 1990s. Snoop Dogg coming out with his own brand of hot dogs and sausages called Snoop Dogs. Janet Jackson will not go away. She says it's time to talk about her wardrobe malfunction because it's important to women. Shut up. You and Justin Timberlake planned that whole thing. There was no wardrobe malfunction. Your boob fell out exactly the way you guys rehearsed it, the way you planned it. Stop lying already. It's been like 20 years. Just stop with the lies. Cop to the whole thing and shut up. Birthdays today. Sporty Spice, one Melanie Chisholm, is 48. Jeff Bezos, 58. Oliver Platt, chief of psychiatry on NBC Chicago Med, 62. I talked about this for years, that Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh had the same birthday. Rush didn't make it. Howard just turned 68 today. Kirstie Alley, 71. And the amazing Kreskin, still mentalizing people at 87. All in the Family premiered on CBS on this date back in 1971. You could never have that show on television now. Carlos Santana became the first Hispanic inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on this date 24 years ago, 1998. The one true Batman, Adam West, first donned his tight gray leotards when Batman premiered on ABC. Burt Ward, the Boy Wonder, and the Caped Crusaders fought crime for three seasons. 107 years ago today, 1915, U.S. House of Representatives rejected a proposal to give women the right to vote on this date in 1910. And I don't know how this is possible, but this pops up every year. I remember reading this story in previous years, but a couple from China became the youngest parents in history because they were still kids, though. It's very disturbing. The dad was 9 and the mother was 8. And I'm sorry, I don't believe that story. And Teen Vogue published an op-ed criticizing President Biden's COVID response. I don't know about you. I don't usually make up my mind politically until I hear what Sean Cassidy has to say in Tiger Beat. And with that, we say bye-bye. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, January 12th, 2022 is in the can. 300 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in this country. Thank you for that. Continue to spread the word, please. You may email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Everything is free. We post at about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday, and we archive everything, so if you miss a show, you can go back and pick it up. We got our eye on this storm that is possibly going to be hitting the St. Louis area over the weekend, Friday night late into Saturday. Could get a couple of inches of snow out of this. Let's see how it develops. And, of course, Cordell and Cordell standing by for your divorce paper filings after you try to get away with watching all of these football games this weekend. Something to think about. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.